The following is a presentation of the Open Door Bible Baptist Church and Pastor Chris Tice. For more audio and video content, please check us out on the web at www.opendoornj.org.
Now, I just want to bring a message tonight that's different from the previous two that I prepared for this evening. And it is one that God laid on my heart. I tried another two, and they just didn't work. I was trying too hard. So what do? Pray, let go. So I thought when I arrived in the States a few days ago, the news was full of the shooting, with the focus being on the why. All those people killed as they enjoyed a concert. It took place in a party town devoted to pleasure, pleasures of the flesh. And it reminded me of the bombings in Indonesia, north of Australia, in the year 2002, when more than 200 people, including 88 Australians, were killed by a bomb. That attack took place on the island of Bali, a famous tropical paradise, where Australians go to have a good time, so-called. Some people expressed horror at the innocent people being killed, but others thought in their hearts, well, I shouldn't have been there anyway. Getting drunk, fornicating. It offends us as Bible-believing Christians. It also offends the Islamic terrorists who killed them. They hate alcohol. They hate the way that we live in the West. But we serve a different God who hates the sin but loves the sinner and who doesn't advocate murder. So trust me, it is a different God. Allah is different from Jehovah God. But the people who killed the 202 holidaymakers and partygoers that night just hate what the wicked Westerners get up to. And so we as Christians did pray and should pray, as we did for the Las Vegas families, those who have been savagely cut down. We prayed that God would comfort them and that some may be saved, as they seek answers in their own heart, and that's good. But the Vegas attack reminded me of the words of Christ when the scribes and the Pharisees questioned him in the book of Luke, chapter 13. We might like to turn there. And reading from verses 1 to 9 of chapter 13. This also, by the way, applies particularly to the Twin Towers as well. Same thing happened there. Reading from verse 1 to 13 of Luke chapter 5. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. It reminded me of the Twin Towers. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Clearly not. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He's repeated it twice. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he to the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year, till I shall dig it about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please show us, Lord, how we can do more for you when terror grips the land and the nations of this world are puzzled and seek answers. Lord, please show us how to share the gospel and the reason of the hope that lies within us with meekness and fear. For knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. In Jesus' name, amen. We can draw two conclusions from the Vegas attack, probably more, but two that spring to mind are: bad things happen to good people because we're not good people. So the title of my message tonight is Bad Things Happen to Good People. So we can say bad things happen to good people because we're not good people, and good things happen to bad people because God is merciful. It depends on your perspective, doesn't it? Let's look at each proposition. Bad things happen to good people because we're not good people. We're all in a fallen state, and even Christians are capable of wickedness and even murder if we walk away from God. And we know those stories of our own brethren who have ruined their testimony because they didn't heed this verse. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So, of course, we're all at risk of being affected by the sins of others in this fallen world, by a shooter or by a drunk driver, whatever. But we're vulnerable. I knew a young man in Sydney, John Mark, who was saved, sadly saved. He was such a joy. He would go around and say, "Are you looking up, brother? Are you looking up for the coming of the Lord?" And then one day, he prayed to the devil for a gun. He bought some bullets, got the gun, wrote his father's name on each bullet, and went and shot him dead. Saved man. Because he found out that his father was continuing a process of abuse that had begun with his brothers in childhood. And he would have got a light sentence because of that, but he hanged himself in his cell. So, brethren, take heed lest we fall. It's one step at a time. It's not an overnight thing. However, when good things happen to bad people, God often gets trampled in the dust and the blood of a violent story. But, you know, as a journalist, I know the first thing you look for is the miracle survivor, right? That's the next story. After the rising death toll, the next story is miracle survivor. Doesn't matter whether it's pulling someone out of the rubble of a devastated land like Puerto Rico or survivors. But people still ask, where is God? Where is God in this? One survivor was quoted as saying, "I know I can't speak for everyone, but I was agnostic going into that concert, and now I'm a firm believer in God. Because there's no way that, you know, all that happened and I made it through. And I was blessed enough to be still alive here talking to you today. I pray that he finds the Savior." But such events should be a call to action for every Christian, for they remind us that except they repent, they shall all likewise perish. Death comes to many people without warning. As God reminds us in Luke 12, 19 and 20. So just looking there, it says, the rich man, we know this story. "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast many goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall be those things which thou hast provided?" You know, the attitude of unsaved people is that life is a vapor. They will agree with us. Life is a vapor. But their response is to say, live for today. You know, my bucket list, you know, go to Australia now before I die. Not a bad idea. But we must warn them that this is the wrong approach. They need to know that God has provided a way out of the suffering caused by man's sin. That he so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to die for us. to make us whole again and give us a home in eternity. They don't have to live in the bondage of fear or try to avoid thinking about a horrific event that may come to us. I think Pastor was speaking about fear as being one of the greatest tools of the devil. And that's true. It is the greatest thing. Politicians use it, journalists use it to get you to read stories and vote for them. And we drown out those fears with the pleasures of the world. Music, pleasure, worldly distraction. That'll put aside fear for the moment. But of course, it's only by being born again, adopted into God's family, and having peace in this life and the next that we can take away all fear. Do you know that when we're born again, we're no longer in bondage to fear? We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Do you know that religion, that all religion, not Christ, but religion with traditions and dogmas and rules, wants to put you in bondage to its own religious system? But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Brethren, we have the truth, and we need to share the truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And as Christians, do you know that our Abba Father wants us to die to self and get busy with the Father's business? We also need to put aside our own worldly pleasures and that drown out our main task, which is to tell people about the Saviour. Please turn to John 12, and we'll look at verse 12:24. You know, the font we chose for Harvest Magazine looks a bit like a corn of wheat, and this is the verse that drew the designer to that. Verse 24 of John chapter 12, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You say, well, I'm not called to be an evangelist. Well, missions is a command. It's not a call. Go ye therefore. You say, I'm afraid of rejection. So am I. That's the greatest fear, apart from public speaking. And the way around that is just to do it. Hand someone a tract. You'll find yourself engaged in a conversation. And then you'll have to do it. Practice. I followed my pastor around for 3 months, said not a word for 3 months, just listened. You know, the Charles Schofield, who wrote the Schofield Study Bible, which I have here, got saved by a Christian who couldn't share the gospel with him. He didn't know how. He hadn't, didn't have these tracts. He just I'm not sure what denomination he was, but he got to the door one day. Schofield was his lawyer, and he said he didn't know what to say. So he just stuck. He was agonized. Obviously, he was trying to win the guy to Christ. Thought that he was a great, candidate for salvation. And he just stood and said, why aren't you a Christian? And Schofield said, come in, I've been waiting for you to ask me that. And somehow he stumbled through the message of salvation, and of course, we're all the richer for it. So, you don't have to know much to do a lot, because the power of God is the one who does it. So learn a method and practice. And let's bring forth much fruit, brethren. Thank you.
If God has used this ministry in any way to be a blessing to you, please take a moment to send us an email to info@opendoornj.org. Also, if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so online at opendoornj.org. Thanks for tuning in.